Good morning to you. Will you turn to Romans 1, please? Romans chapter 1. Why be thankful? Why be thankful? I decided to speak about being thankful because I got tired of myself. I got tired of COVID and thinking about things I did not like, and at the same time reading the Bible where there is so much thanksgiving to God. So I really want to aim myself in a better direction. And I thought, maybe you could use this too. And then I realized that Thanksgiving was in 2 weeks, and this message is 2 weeks early. But maybe it's just in time. We hope to answer two questions today. One, why does God want us to be thankful? There'll be a few different answers for that. Why does God want us to be thankful? And two, what happens to us if we're not thankful? So our main text will be Romans chapter 1, verses 18 to 22. We'll look at a few other scriptures, but Romans 1, 18 to 22 is our center. And I'm going to start with a line near the end of that paragraph and work backward. This line from verse 21 is our starting point. They knew God, but they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. In that paragraph, Paul describes what went wrong with the human race. But in the process, we learn much about how things were supposed to be. And that's our interest today. How were things supposed to be? They knew God, but they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. Why be thankful? Be thankful because it is the normal, healthy response to knowing God. When we are hungry, we look for food. When we're thirsty, we get a drink. When we're tired, we rest. These are normal, healthy responses and don't have to be taught. And in the same way, when we know God, we honor and thank him. It just comes out of us. I had to be taught to be thankful to people for their kindnesses and their gifts, and I was not a fast learner on this. And now, because we are all twisted and we don't see spiritual truth quickly, we have to be taught to give thanks to God. But at the beginning, it was not so. Back there, people stopped honoring and thanking God as a deliberate rebellion, not because they forgot. Being thankful is a normal, healthy response to knowing God. Here's another. Be thankful because it's the normal, healthy response to living in this world. We'll go back to verse 19. Romans 1:19. What may be known about God was plain to us, because God has made it plain to us. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. Although we knew God, we neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. God deliberately designed the visible and material creation to make his invisible qualities clear. God's power and character can be clearly seen in the world around us. We can understand the invisible God from what has been made. And the natural response to what we plainly see around us is to praise God and thank him. Here are a few examples from Jesus. Jesus said that the good people and the bad people get the same amount of sunshine from God, and the good people and the bad people get the same amount of rain from God. Well, that's true. We can see that. Obviously, said Jesus, the Creator is kind and generous and soft-hearted because he treats his enemies just as well as he treats his friend. Why is it that we can see the good people and the bad people, the sun and the rain, but we don't see God's great kindness behind this? We have different explanations for how that happens, but Jesus is showing us how God makes his invisible qualities clear by what he has made, his kindness and his generosity. Jesus said, "Are you watching the birds? Do they plant seeds in spring? No. Do they harvest in fall and put it in granaries? No, they don't. And yet they eat every day, all day long, because God feeds them every day, all year long. They eat every day, all year long, because God feeds them every day, all year long. So, why are you people worried about food when you're so much more important to God than birds? Well, we see all that stuff, but we didn't learn that. Jesus said, check out the flowers. Do they save up money and shop for expensive clothes once in a while? No. Do they shop online for better clothes? No, they don't live long enough for the package to arrive. Yet no human has ever worn clothes as fine as these flowers that won't last till the end of the month. That's how God dresses the flowers. So what are you worried about? In Acts 14, here's Paul doing the same thing. Paul preached to a crowd in Lystra that had never heard of God. He said, turn to the living God who made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. He has let all the nations go their own way, but he has not left you without a message, without showing himself. He has shown kindness by giving you rain from heaven and crops in their seasons. He provides you with plenty of food and fills your hearts with joy. God was sending a message to those people without him all along, by rain from heaven, crops in their seasons, plenty of food, and he put joy in their hearts as they celebrated harvest. Food and joy too. And when these happen, God is speaking about himself to people in these things. And there was a time when people knew all this, but we stopped praising him and thanking him, and we all got blind. And we don't see it anymore. But the reasons for praise and thanks are all still there. Here, we've seen two reasons to thank God, because it's the normal healthy response to knowing God, and because it's the normal healthy response to living in this world. And here's a third. Be thankful because God wants a relationship with us. See, God urges us to thank him because he wants a relationship with people. He loves and blesses and cares for all people, but not just because he's kind and generous. He wants a relationship with us. And people, the relationship works like this. He gives us all we need and things to enjoy, and we thank him and honor him. And that, people, is how relationship with God works. He lovingly provides us with all kinds of things, and we praise him and thank him. He always does things that should naturally bring this out of us, and that's what he hopes for, and that's how relationship works. If the only prayer you ever say in your entire life is thank you, it will be enough. That comes from Meister Eckhart, a German monk and theologian, writing about the year 1300. He's on to something about relationship with God. If the only prayer you ever say in your entire life is thank you, it will be enough. I am, in fact, blind to God's kindness. I get distracted by my particular troubles, and I lose sight of the miraculous world in which we all live. God does not want thanks and glory because he needs steady compliments to keep going. God wants thanks and glory because it is the only fitting response to his power and kindness, which he has made clear. And we don't see how dark and twisted it is to know God and know what he does and yet not thank and praise him. It is dark and twisted. God gave tastes of his glory and generosity to different writers of the Bible, and they tasted it and saw it and they got it. And those writers tell us often, praise the Lord, people. Can't you see what he's done? We all have to praise the Lord and give thanks. Anything less would be criminal. Look at what he does and what he's like. Let's all praise him. That is the response of those who see. What happens to us if we're not thankful? Romans 1:21 and 22. Although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools. Here's what happens to us if we're not thankful. Our thinking becomes futile, empty. Our thinking becomes empty. Our foolish hearts get dark. We claim to be wise, but we become spiritual fools. We can still do math, but we can't figure out life. We are spiritually ignorant while feeling wise and perceptive. It's not good. So how can we be thankful when everything goes wrong? Deuteronomy 8, 2-5. We're going to go to Moses here. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2. Sometimes God does not seem to be generous with us. Moses was speaking to Israel at the end of the 40 years in the wilderness, just before Joshua took them across the Jordan and into Canaan, the promised land. Let's listen to Moses talk about our own hard times. Imagine Moses talking to you. Moses said, "Remember how the Lord led you all these 40 difficult years to humble you and test you and to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would live in his ways. He humbled you and caused you to hunger, and then he fed you with manna so you would learn to trust him. Your clothes did not wear out, and your feet did not swell during these 40 years. As parents discipline their children, your God disciplines you." So God takes full credit for bringing hard times on Israel, and as it's described here, it was not to punish them, but to teach them to trust him in a time when it was clearly hard to trust him. Food does not come from our hands and our job. It comes from God. He wanted to know if they would still live in his ways in hard times. And he does this to us too. But get this, God was not neglecting them. He was paying close attention. He wanted to teach them to depend on him. And he did not. He did cause them to hunger, but he also fed them. He made sure their clothes lasted and their shoes lasted. And Moses said God still led them. He led you these 40 years. God was with them, helping, providing, and leading. So also us in our hard times. If God's creation is so generous and faithful, what about natural disasters? If God's creation is so generous and faithful, what about natural disasters? And I'm going back to the first verse in our paragraph, Romans 1:18. If regular crops and food and sun and rain show us God's kindness, what about terrible things? Earthquakes, tsunamis, floods, plagues, and so on. Verse 18 reads, "The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against the godlessness and wickedness of people." The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven. What wrath is Paul talking about? The wrath is already being revealed, and it comes from heaven. And the focus of this paragraph is God speaking plainly in visible material creation. That much is clear. Probably God is revealing his wrath in natural disasters. In the Bible, things like the flood in Noah's day, fire on Sodom and Gomorrah, and the Egyptian army being drowned in the Red Sea, different floods and droughts and so on. Jesus talked about disasters like this in Luke 13, and he made a point we need to get real clear. The survivors are just as guilty as the victims. Did you get that? The survivors are just as guilty as the victims. If the survivors do not repent, they will perish in the same way. The disasters are a general message to all people that the Creator is not pleased with the human race. And if humanity does not turn to God, it will get worse. In Revelation, God sends plagues and disasters, and we read several times, but the survivors did not repent or give God glory. Paul tells us in the next chapter of Romans that the riches of God's kindness should lead people to turn to God. Jesus, in John's revelation, tells us that disaster should lead people to turn to God. The riches of his kindness and disasters are both have the same goal, would people turn to God. These are really God's only options. So he keeps doing both. So, let's be thankful. I have completely ignored all the benefits that Jesus Christ brought us. I know that. We'll get to that on Thanksgiving in 2 weeks. Today, the things he gives all creation. I've heard that in some counseling these days, counselors encourage thankfulness in troubled people because thankfulness is good for them. It makes their minds and emotions healthier. They don't tell people to thank God. They just say, list what you're thankful for and steer your minds that way. Spend some time every day reminding yourself of what you are grateful to have in your life and reflect on these things. Keep a little grateful journal. It turns out even those without God can see that this is good for us. God works in mysterious ways. In spite of our hard times and our natural disasters, God still gives us sun and rain. God gives crops and foods. God gives us a place to live and clothes to wear. God gives us family and friends. God brings satisfactions and joys into our lives. These are all generally true in the world, and they are certainly true of us. And God does this because he wants a relationship with us. He provides as parents provide, and so we will thank him and live as grateful children. Great is your faithfulness, O God our Savior. All we have needed, your hand has provided. Amen. And let's pray a prayer of thanksgiving. Father in heaven, thank you for your long generosity to this world, to us all. You have kept us alive for all these thousands of years, feeding us and clothing us and giving us sun and rain and places to live. You've given us family and friends and work, and you have regularly brought joys and satisfactions and celebrations into our lives. You have given us strength to carry on, and you have led us through it all. When you're our shepherd, we have all we need, and we thank you. Amen. Will you rise, please, for the benediction? May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Go in God's peace to love and serve the Lord. You are dismissed.